This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Coming up on TMS, Nerdtacular gets serious about Twitter.
Companies that do the opposite of what they promise.
Bigfoot hunts terrible. What? Bigfoot ends. Bigfoot hunt ends terribly.
Dude fakes seizures to get out of reading the open. Dude fakes seizures to get out of his restaurant tabs.
Bieber might be a real pimp soon.
Michelle Pfeiffer belonged to some weird cult.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You country cornflakes, you country cornflakes. Oh, they won't wilt when you pour on milk. Oh, they won't bunch when they are crunch. They're double toasted, double crisp and good. General Mills makes them just the way they should. You country cornflakes, you country cornflakes. Some fields of corn, so majestically waving.
It was delicious.
Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello and good morning, and that was for you, Jeannie. She likes that theme, so we got to play that once in a while.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is The Morning Stream for Tuesday, freaking November 5th, 2003. My name is Scott, or 2013. Firefly's still on the air, everybody. And what else? The Osbournes is a big hit on MTV.
That's right.
I just played...
I can't wait to start this thing called podcasting.
I'm still playing Quake 3, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Cause still about a year away from podcasting. Still not going to happen. So I have no gray hair in 2003. It's good. Good time
to
be alive.
I still like Evan Curry.
Do you still? It's still kind of into him.
Still kind of like him, yeah.
What's he doing today? You know the guy's got talent. What's he doing? Hey,
you know,
everybody.
They're probably going to cut that out, and they're going to put it on their soundboard, and they're going to play it on No Agenda.
I love those guys. Let's hope I go to Vegas. But let's hope they're there if we're there. That'd be fun.
Yes, that would be fun.
This fake rivalry, we could have a little fun with it.
Totally would be fun. Yeah, and I like how John C. Dvorak now in my mind is a gangster, a Hollywood 1920s gangster.
Totally, dude. I love that particular guy. Well, he's the guy from he's the ringleader in the Reservoir Dogs. He's basically that guy,
Lawrence Tierney.
No, Lawrence Tierney. Right. Yeah. Yes. That guy. So I got an email from. Did I ever tell you I got an email from him? I think I did.
From John C. Dvorak?
Yeah, so I got two emails. One saying, basically just confirming that this is all a bunch of fake rivalry and there was no, they meant nothing by it. He was very nice in that email. Uh-huh. Just really sweet about it. And then a few days later, I got another email from him praising a comic I'd put up about some Apple Android thing. Like, and here's what I believe.
Yes.
Behind the scenes, probably the nicest guy ever. Like, just the sweetest guy. But on the air, he's got this thing to do, you know? He's got this guy to be, and so he has to be both those things, and it's fine. I'm not exactly the same on the air as I am. Well, actually, I kind of am.
I'm
sort of the same.
Let's not. Yeah, that's...
That's true, right? I'm kind of basically the same idiot that I am now, that I am normally. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Brian?
We both are.
You came through a storm of technical problems this morning, but you're here.
Jeez. I arrived smelling clean on the other side.
Yeah, you've done all right. So that was the last time I saw Brian Ebert. So I've got some stuff to tell you about today. Let's start it off with a reminder to vote for us in the Podcast Awards. We are in two categories at podcastawards.com. Both People's Choice and what's the other one?
Comedy baby.
Comedy, yeah. Look at us. Comedy. We're funny.
We come here, we make the funny.
I mean, we're not... Look, people nominate us. They could have put us in the PodSafe music category, and we would have ended up there if we wanted. Like, sure. People will nominate whoever they're going to nominate. But
sure.
We
could have
very
been immature.
Happy.
We could have been. Sure. We do a video component to this, so we could have been in the best video podcast or whatever.
Sure. I don't think they check.
I think what we don't want to be in is general, because that, I think, was That killed us last year.
Yeah, general was bad.
General category.
Yeah.
What the heck? What is general?
Doesn't mean anything. Todd Cochran? It's for higher ups in the Army doing podcasts about their day on the barracks. That's what that is. So anyway, go there, vote for us. You can do it once a day. We've already been reminding you of this, so we won't pound it into you too deep today. But vote for us, podcastawards.com. Also a reminder that Nerdtacular, if you're a fan, if you're looking forward to 2014 and you want to come, we now have a Twitter account, at Nerdtacular Show. Is where you'll follow that. Hop on out there. Sign up. Don't sign up. Well, unless you're not already on Twitter. Sign up. Follow Nerdtacular Show.
Find, like, if they follow Nerdtacular Show on Twitter, what exactly will they find?
Find nothing. But soon they'll find things like video previews and stuff from years past and dates and plans and stuff that's going on as we know them. Like, hey, so-and-so's performing. We'll put that up on there. Or, hey, so-and-so's coming to sign books. Or, this is one of the panels for sure. Or, you know, just kind of keep up on when things are happening, when tickets go on sale, all that kind of stuff. Very much looking forward to next year. And so you guys will want to sign up for that. Speaking of next year, I found out I'm not... If I get the second eye operated on, it won't happen until, at the earliest, January.
Okay.
Because the doctor I like, it turns out everyone likes... And he's done like 10,000 of these surgeries.
Popular guy.
And he's only had one in the 10,000. One went south. And it was
an
88-year-old lady. And she got some weird infection because she's old.
Uh-huh.
And ended up losing her eye as a result. But outside of her, this one case where they're prone to those things anyway. Every 9,999 other versions of his cataract surgeries have all gone successful. That's including awesome. My left eye. So...
Well, and I'd say, you know, if something does happen to your eye, it's a good time to buy a lottery ticket.
Right. Right now is the time to get going. That'll be, I don't get in there till the 19th of December to see him at all. And then probably January or February before the surgery. So anyway, there's a little update on that.
Cool.
Finally, here's the deal. Thursday, you and I and many others fly out to Anaheim, California for BlizzCon 2013. The semi, somewhat annual. Oh, yeah, some will drive. That's true.
Some will drive.
Some will fly. Some will live there and just walk over.
Some will walk over.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I walked over to the Anaheim Convention Center from my house?
It wasn't very far. And what was my point? Oh, so we're going, and one of the things I have to do pretty immediately for a chunk of Thursday and a good chunk of Friday is I'm part of an independent documentary film that's being filmed there. And I'm on camera for most of it. I'm sort of the Ryan Seacrest.
Are you going to be the Morgan Spurlock of...
Kind of, yeah. Except I'm not, I mean, I'm not writing or producing or anything, but I'm just literally going to be occasional face on there. I'm the Mike Rowe of this particular effort, I guess is a good way to put it. I can't say much more about what the documentary is. You might all glean from this that it might be video game related. And you'd be correct, but beyond that, I can't say much. But this is the point. I'm not used to being. Well, look at me now. Here we are streaming. I'm not really looking at the camera. I'm bouncing my chair back, my stool back here around because I'm an idiot and I'm fidgety. I tend to pace. If you see me at Nerdtacular at the beginning of the show, I walk back and forth about 20 times before I'm done. I'm not a good sit still, look good for the camera kind of guy. Just not me. It's just not my normal mode, right?
Right.
So I found this list, and you like lists, so
I do like lists.
You'll enjoy this.
All right.
This is 10, and this is for me and anyone out there who's got to be on camera this week. 10 tips for being awesome on camera.
Okay. Cool.
Article by Brandon Smith, posted originally or produced or published originally in July in Mashable on Mashable.com. So here you go. This was all in reference to people having to go on the Today Show and having to look good and sit there and do whatever they got to do. How you look is very important, Brian. 4 tips on how you look. Number 1, wear clothing that makes you feel good about yourself.
Makes sense.
But they've already told me I need to wear like neutral colors. I can't wear black. I can't wear white. I have to wear some neutrally thing in the middle. So there's that.
Okay.
Something that won't augment my teats either is what I'm looking for.
Nothing so tight that...
I don't want to be all nipply on camera.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Keep jewelry to a minimum, it says here. Feeling good about yourself is key. Okay, well, That's going to be trouble. Number two.
Inject some fake self-confidence right there. And okay. You're golden.
I'm terrible at doing that, but here we go. Number two, mom was right. Sit up straight. Mm-hmm. Camera exaggerates everything, but there is nothing to distract the viewer. If your posture is poor, viewers will think you've checked out and lost interest. Your body should be or convey your energy and intelligence without being stiff or robotic. So I got to find the right. Let's see here. Let me just settle in. Okay. How's that look?
That's, I'm looking. I'm waiting to see
probably like shit.
The screen. Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, that's how much of a delay I have when I look over at your video, by the way.
Real time.
There you
folks.
Go. Oh, yes. You look great. You look very, your posture is excellent and you look confident.
I don't look stiff and robotic. Okay, great.
No.
Watch your body language, number three. Everyone else will, so that's sort of the same thing. And then four is smile with your eyes. A warm and genuine smile does wonders for coming across as sincere and confident, even if you're not. But flashing those pearly whites. Oh, wait, they're not pearly white. Mine are kind of dingy poo. My teeth. So that doesn't count. I can't show my teeth. All right, the eyes can dictate whether a smile is real or forced. In this case, crow's feet can be a good thing.
Oh,
Brandon. All right, next up, how you sound. Use your natural voice. What's my natural voice? Is it this?
Well, it's the voice. That's the voice I've always heard from you. So if that's not your natural voice, you do a great job of.
But I think they want it. Welcome to BlizzCon 2013.
No, they don't. No, because that sounds like that doesn't sound genuine. Now it works. It works for some people. It works great for Scott Fletcher, and I think that is his natural.
Yeah.
You know, that is his projected voice.
Yes.
He's lucky. But, you know, people are used to your natural voice. Hey, all right, welcome. Hey, blah, blah,
hey,
blah, blah.
What's going on? What's going on, man? Hey, that's a nice cosplay you got there. Who are you supposed to be? Oh, that doesn't look anything like Sarah Kerrigan. Moving on. It'd be like that.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
All right. Use your natural voice.
Do that.
It says, how to prepare. Look at the camera as you would your dog. That's interesting.
Wow, I haven't heard that before.
Don't be afraid of the lens. It won't bite or even lick you. Just look into it with the love you'd give.
Or even lick you.
Look at it the way you would welcoming your pet at the end of the day. Number eight is my favorite. Keep it moist.
But not after it's left a big steaming turd on the carpet, right?
No.
That's not how you want to look at the camera?
Bad camera. You're going outside.
No.
It's to the pound with you. Keep it moist is number eight. This is referring to my rectum. I don't know what else to talk about.
Yes, of course, yes.
Oh, right. Dry mouth. Sorry. Dry mouth is the enemy of talking, they say. You know the old phrase.
Yeah.
Get the frog out of your throat with
a t-shirt that says that.
Yes, exactly. Take a sip of water. Taking a water break can be a way to step away from the camera and calm your nerves and keep your lips moist with something other than your tongues. Here we go.
Wow. Cold beverage.
Yeah, it's dry mouth is the enemy of talking. So
it is. Yes, they're natural enemies. It's actually the arch enemy of talking.
Exactly. He's going, I'll get you, dry mouth. Or wait, I'll get you
talking.
Number nine, chill. Don't go in front of the camera full of nerves and sweaty palms. Well, that's easy to say.
Yeah. Right.
That's. I mean,
don't worry about it.
Don't be nervous.
If you've got that, then you don't need these other nine tips on how to be awesome on camera.
You know what? F number nine. Nine sucks. I'm not reading that one again. That's stupid. It's chill. Come on. Give me a break. Some people do better. You can force chill, though.
You can just fake chill.
I can fake it. That's what I can do.
Yeah.
So I won't feel chill, but you'll think I am.
Right.
I do that all the time, so it'll be fine.
You're not faking it. Come on.
All right now, I'm not, but. Listen, on TMS, I'm as natural as a bird in springtime. Mm-hmm. But when I got to get up in front of people or there are high expectations placed upon me for some other thing, that's when I get nervous. So we'll see how I do. Number 10, breathing is good.
Mm.
Not only is it essential for life, but breathing is necessary to be awesome on camera. Take deep breaths before you go live. Blow air into one of the host's face. No, it doesn't say that. Continue to breathe easy when the camera is on you. If you find yourself breathing or taking air too quickly, it's time for a break.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're portraying a character or alter ego, it's important to be yourself while on camera. This is especially true if you use video to market yourself. Allow you and your personality to flourish and embrace the moving frames, says Brandon Smith, who works for Fueled.com and is a product and design development incubator based in New York City, Chicago, and London.
He's an incubator, huh?
That's what it says.
Wow.
No comments on this. Oh, there are a bunch. Sorry, there are some. They loaded in late. Don't wear anything green because it'll disappear. Some people are saying in the comments.
Well, if you're in front of a green screen, but that's, you know, that's a pretty specific.
But you are the green screen. A little Jar Jar Binks can be in front of you.
Right.
All right. That's it for that. Thank you for indulging me. But I'm working on it, you know, excited. Camera time. And then camera one time. Last thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
Got a message this morning on Skype from one Christian Narn, TV's Hodor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Got a Skype message that says, hey, Scottlet Johansson. Oh, no. Scottlet John Hansen. And now I needed. So what should nice. I. So chat room, I'm going to take your votes on how I should reply to Hodor.
Oh,
what
how
should
to
we
reply.
Say?
Okay.
I'm going to say, I don't want to just say Hodor.
Just reply Hodor. That's what everybody's telling you.
Christian. I can't type his name. They got any good ones?
Nothing so far. A lot of people saying Hodor.
All right.
What's his last name again?
Christian Narn. It's actually Nairn, I guess is how you pronounce it.
So maybe you could do Christian Balinarn. Christian.
Well, how about this? Hey, Christian Bale Hodor the Third Esquire or something like that.
There you go.
All right, done. Let's see what he says. Okay, enter.
Poppington right. upon fresh.
We'll check in with Hodor here shortly in the show. But now, because we're running a little bit late, we started a tad late, we're going to jump straight into this. Oh, it's the 501st Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Ooh, the 501st Legion. You may remember Orange Air from such shows as Coverville episode 987. But did you know that aside from their cover of The Cure's Killing an Arab, they have 2 5-track EPs of completely original indie rock goodness for you to purchase and download at orangeair.bandcamp.com.
Wow.
Yes, go now or after the show and hear Nathan, Jessica, Mike, and Jason rock your socks with the latest sound from Jacksonville, Florida. Orange Air, it's swell.
Not bad, man. I like when you used to do Shaggy and Robin in the.
I was kind of going for the Phil Hartman Casey Kasem thing there.
Yeah, very Casey Kasem. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on, man?
I don't know.
Oh, a little melancholy today, are we?
Well, it was good timing with the phone this morning because. Somebody called with a big, huge problem, and I just got off the phone with them, and then the phone rang again, and it was you guys.
With a bigger problem about Star Trek. So, Daryl, we are today, just to give you a little heads up, we're having the Take It and the Teeny today. Those are the two things we're going to eat. But before we do all of that, Daryl is the Trek nerd, and we do Trek trivia on this show. We do it every damn day. And I don't care if you're sick of it. You could all be sitting there right now going, man, has this thing been played out? What a boring... No! Damn it, we love Star Trek so much, we are going to hold this segment close to our hearts until the end of time. So here's your question. In the original series episode, The Empath, Kirk, Spock, and McCoy beam down to a research station. They find the Starion is deserted. I think he meant station. Scotty contactees the away team... And tells them of something very dangerous on the ship's sensors. What does Scotty tell them the sensors are picking up? Is it A, an ion storm, B, a solar flare, C, an asteroid, or D, another ship? Again, that's A, ion storm, B, solar flare, C, asteroid, or D, another ship. Another ship. Okay. Now, while you think about it.
They're picking up that guy from Converter Raid?
Of course he is. They are.
Yes.
And
are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We like those guys at Converter Raid, by the way.
We do. We're gonna see them a lot. We're going to see them this week.
Yeah. Pat and crew. These guys are great.
And Solar Flare.
Let's do what we do. What are we doing? We're going to...
We're eating something. Yeah. Which one do you want to eat first?
Let's eat the Take It. So there's this. Look at this, you guys. This is a Kit Kat ripoff, if I've ever seen one.
It even has 5 of the 6 letters of Kit Kat. Basically, you've rearranged Kit Kat and you replaced the K with an E and you've got take it.
It's just, so they've not only copied the color, the type, the style, the everything, but they've also anagrammed the name almost entirely.
Exactly.
Delphi is the manufacturer. What's that? Is that a skier on that little logo? It is. Weird.
Okay.
Switzerland. So this is where this comes from. Apparently, it's a real competitive Kit Kat market over there. Gotta come up with one to compete with it. So we're going to tear this open. It looks less like a Kit Kat. However, there's some sort of weird Masonic symbol on the top. Do you see that?
Well, yeah. You know what that is? They've you can see where they've scratched out the words Kit Kat on the top of the chocolate and drawn a couple of diamonds.
But there's a symbol there as well. So they've actually taken Kit Kats. All right, let's see. Now, this should, in theory, have good chocolate, right? Because it's Swiss.
So in theory.
Yeah, so here we're... It doesn't sound good. It's already in your mouth.
There's a couple diamonds, like the pattern on Bill Cosby's shirt.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't good.
This tastes like Jell-O pudding.
This is not good. The Pokemon. I don't like this at all.
Really?
Yeah, that's not good.
Do you honestly think it tastes different than a Kit Kat?
I do. I think it needs a little wick and a lighter, and we've got a 4 candles. I think that's terrible. It's the waxiest, horrible thing I ever
had. Didn't really taste like anything.
You know, you've been spoiled by all the Schnago Kit Kats because.
Oh, and look inside. Because to me, look inside. It's not the yellowy tan colored like a Kit Kat. It's like dead gray.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Zombie gray.
Yeah.
Like a zombie finger covered in chocolate. Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't think it tastes any different than a Kit Kat, than a regular...
Oh, wow, you're full of poo.
I think you're full of poo, too. It's totally different.
We just handed Kit Kats out to kids on Halloween, and for every 5 we hand out, I ate one.
You ate one for every 5? That's a pretty good ratio. But listen, though, if you take those side by side and did a taste test, I guarantee you'd see a difference. Is a waxy, waxy, weird thing going on. Love it. Here, you take it.
if only the Kit Kats we were handing out, I had to be careful how I said this. If only the Kit Kats we were handing out weren't fun size, then I would take you on that challenge.
Yes, do be careful when you say that. All right, teeny, chocolate flavored. I don't know what. What are these?
Chocolate flavored.
Sure puffed out, though. Look at that thing.
Biscuit with chocolate flavor confectionery.
And in an emergency, you could use it as a pillow. Let's open
mine
it up and see.
Strawberry.
Oh, is it? Okay. Mine says chocolate flavor. Yours says strawberry flavor?
Maybe I should look for another one.
Oh, gosh. No, there's only one. Maybe you got more than one.
Yeah, I don't see any other ones.
Oh, I see what they are. They're little hard cookies with a little chocolate hole in the middle, and yours are strawberry. Boy, they're dusty, though.
Yeah, they are.
It's like the knobs of my grandmother's old stereo receiver.
It's basically the as they bash around in each other in the bag, all the little cookie dust just adheres to the chocolate.
Yep. All right, these are pretty bland, but I don't hate them. I don't hate them.
Well, it's not bad.
They are bland.
Where are these from? Let's see where these are from.
Good luck.
Manufactured in Weird Town somewhere. I don't know where that's from. Something. All right.
Yeah.
These are better than the Kit Kat.
Oh, Thailand. These are from Thailand.
I agree, Daryl. They are way better than the Kit Kat. Or the Take-Its.
Take-Its.
The Take-Its. I'm not fooled by your dumb name and your rip-off thing. All right. Well, that was fun. Daryl, got any birthdays to celebrate?
A quick lick of a teeny for Cleo's birthday.
Yeah. Oh, is it her birthday today?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we should celebrate. What should we do?
I'm going to play a song for her later.
Okay. Perfect. That's what we do. It's all digital. Those are the gifts we give. Daryl, birthdays? Anybody? Somebody?
Well, yes. Not only Cleo, but Armin Shimmerman. So you could lick Quark's ear.
Oh, sweet. My plan all along. Plenty of surface area to... how old is he now?
He wouldn't even need to be there for you to do it.
Yeah, it's true.
He's 64.
Oh, what? My sister. Okay, sorry. I just got a text from Wendy. I have to mention this on the show because this is where I said it. My sister had... I swear she had been telling everybody she was moving to Amsterdam. She says they're not moving to Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I need to quit saying this on the show because some of her clients who listen to the show are freaking out that she's leaving. All right. I am officially now backing off my previous statement, which was Wendy's moving to Amsterdam. I don't know what she's doing now. This is all very confusing to me. All right. Well, whatever. I'll talk to her later about that. Yeah. I love when I say things on the air that are wrong and then I get called out.
By the family, even. That's the best part.
Yeah. Somebody went to like a session and said, Scott said you're moving. Now she's mad. Not mad, but you know, whatever. My sister and I have that kind of relationship. She'll punch me in the arm when I see her. It'll be fine. Daryl, back to your... oh, wait. How old is Amberman? How old is he?
He's 64.
64? He didn't look that old when I saw him. He looked great in Vegas last year. Was it last year or this year?
Yeah.
Was it this year?
Last year. Last year.
Are you sure it wasn't 2013?
Yeah, well, I didn't go to the Star Trek convention this year. Did you?
Well, didn't we? Wasn't that the one we were at? When did that happen?
Last year.
You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of this podcast thing.
Oh, well, you also might be thinking of the, you're thinking of the Comic-Con too, probably.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? All right, Daryl, back to this. Was it an ion storm, a solar flare, an asteroid, or another ship that Scotty was all worked up about when those guys were down on the planet? Or the station or whatever. The Starion. Starion.
Oh, are you asking me a question?
Yeah. Yeah, A through D. Which one do you think it is?
Oh, somebody walked up to me and asked me something.
Oh, so they did? What'd they say? What was it?
Anyway. Just stuff. Anyway.
Are those your chicken wings in the fridge, Daryl? Is that what they asked?
yeah, that was it.
Okay. Get those out by Friday, they said. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, ion storm. Well, wait a minute. They went to a supernova or something.
Okay.
So then, let's see. Solar flare? That's not a supernova.
No, I wouldn't say it's a supernova. I don't know. I am no, what's that guy's name? Carl
Sagan?
Weathers? Oh, Sagan. I am no Carl Sagan. I'm also no Carl Weathers, by the way. I don't think a solar flare and a supernova have much in common, but I could be wrong.
Well, no. Supernova is what happens when a star dies, and a solar flare is the little splashes of fire and heat that come off the edges of a sun or a star.
All right, Einstein, we got it. We got it. Just kidding. All right, so what do you think? No solar flare?
Oh, I'm not sure. Because my answer is not in this list. Asteroid, ship, I don't know. All these answers are wrong.
Okay. It's never happened. It's never.
Is this the trick question where we say, by the way, trick question, they're all
fake. E is none of the above. No, there is no E. One of these is true, according to crack trivia artist Mike Iceworm. But I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to say, well, I was going to say solar flare because it's the closest thing to a supernova, but it's not the same. So maybe I don't know. Just asteroid because they're all wrong and so it doesn't matter.
All right, well, let's try asteroid. What do you think, Shatner?
Hey.
All right, let's try it. Here we go. Is it an asteroid? Oh! Oh, no! You were on the path. It's a solar flare. Scotty tells them the sensors have detected a large solar flare. In this episode, the planet Sun is about to go nova and destroy the planet.
Yeah, see?
Here is the... Yeah, but that's not what Scotty said. Here's a clip of Scotty telling the away team about the solar flare. So here's your audio proof right here.
Enterprise to Captain Kirk. Come in, please.
Kirk, what is it, Enterprise?
Scott here, sir.
Our instruments have picked up a gigantic solar flare
with very high levels of...
Did he really have to tell Kirk it was Scotty? Did he have to make sure he knew? Give me a break.
Cosmic rays are covering it.
Guess who this is?
How bad?
An enormous one.
Our sensors indicate the cosmic ray concentration measures 3.51 on the Ritter scale. That'll play the very devil with the crew as well as the ship.
Is that the John Ritter scale, or is there actually a...
Kristen Ritter scale?
There's probably a thing, and I don't know what it is. Some Ritter scale. but yeah.
I don't know. I think that was a I think that was sabotage.
I wish I had that one handy. So Daryl, not too bad. You're 1-for-2 on the week. Yesterday when the stakes were high and the video games were to be won, you won. But today, where there was no stakes, you lost. So tomorrow I'm gonna put some kind of incentive in here. I don't know what.
There you go.
But don't worry about it. We love you anyway. It's Daryl, the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Everybody, follow him. He has things to say, stuff to do. He is also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And now, let's play a little game of something we like to call, what do we call it? Alien or actual mineral. And I still can't find your thing, so I'll play this.
The Devil Farts.
There you go. All right. Go ahead. What is today's?
Let's see. How about Diaspora?
Diaspora.
Diaspora. I think that's a mineral.
I've heard of that. Have you heard of that? I'm going to agree. I'm going to say it's a mineral also.
Can I ask you a different question?
So mineral then.
Yeah.
Throw us a gimme every once in a while.
Yay, mineral. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Duelist Discussion, our Hearthstone podcast. Join your hosts, Devin and Richard, for a casual fireside chat about Hearthstone and video games that's easy on the ears and good for the soul. Check us out at duelistsdiscussion.squarespace.com. Job's done.
Job's done.
Let me say it one more time. Duelistsdiscussion.squarespace.com.
Yeah, it's a little, it doesn't roll off the tongue as easily as one would hope, but yes, if you put the S in there, you're good.
Yes, exactly. Were you saying you played some Hearthstone last night?
A little bit, just a little.
Yeah.
In bed.
Yeah.
Fired up ye old notebook and played a little
bit. That's how Dills likes to play. Yep. I started an arena run, mm-hmm. built a my first ever Warlock deck. Actually, with my first win in the arena, which my first battle was a win, I actually made it to level 1.
No.
Warlock. I've not played a Warlock ever.
Yeah, Warlocks are a tricky bunch.
I like the fact that you get, you can use your hero power to get extra cards, but it costs you. There's a cost.
It's always a cost.
It's always a cost.
They don't tell you about that part.
No.
Bigfoot hunt gone wrong.
Oh, no.
Ends with a man shot and 3 arrested.
They should have brought that really hairy guy along to look for Bigfoot.
Now, when I was a kid, I kind of thought I would do this on a regular basis.
Okay.
I did. I thought Bigfoot hunts would be fun to do, like go around and try to find them in the forest. And now I have no interest in that at all. But back in the day, I thought that'd be cool. Well, these people did too. 3 Oklahoman people, were arrested after a bogus Sasquatch hunt. Well, that goes without saying, doesn't it? Putting bogus in there.
That's right. Right. Not a successful Sasquatch hunt.
Yeah. It's just, it's always bogus.
A bona fide Sasquatch hunt.
Yeah. Proved thing. authorities say wasted their time and put a man in the hospital with a nasty gunshot wound. Omar Panita, age 21, was arrested after he told Rogers County deputies that he shot his friend in the back while a barking noise spooked him during a hunt for Bigfoot late Saturday night. Quote, if they just had been factual, upfront, and truthful with us and explained that this was truly an accident, as strange as it might sound, it would have went ahead and investigated and probably, nobody would have gone to jail, Rogers County Sheriff Scott Walton told News 6. But when you start off with the explanation like how you'd, what? Oh, with, I'm sorry. When you start off with your explanation like that, how do you believe anything after that? Meaning, when they said, we were going to get Bigfoot.
So they just said, oh, yeah, my gun accidentally went off while I was cleaning it or something like that. Okay, well, if you
happens.
Don't want to press charges, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
We were hunting for Bigfoot.
We were trying to find the skunk ape. He'd been sighted there last week.
Shoot him.
That's right. We were going to shoot him in the face. I heard a barking noise. And that was just my friend Bill. He farted, and I thought that was Bigfoot for sure.
The article doesn't ever mention if alcohol was involved, but gosh, I have a hard time believing that there wasn't a
seems likely, doesn't it?
An empty cardboard case of Miller High Life somewhere nearby.
Yep, of course it's Miller High Life. Of course it is. Let's see. In other news, man accused of faking seizures to get out of restaurant tabs. This doesn't work. I've tried this. It doesn't work.
Yeah, sure.
Baltimore man. What does Baltimore man do?
Baltimore man can't decide if he likes the Orioles or the Ravens.
Well, you can like both, right? Different seasons. I mean, some crossover, but...
Yeah, some, yeah.
It's all right. Baltimore Man. The Baltimore Man dubbed Dine and Dasher by police is at it again, authorities and restaurant owners are saying. Andrew Palmer, age 46, notorious for racking up food and drink tabs at area restaurants and then faking seizures to get out of paying the bills. You really got to be desperate if you're doing this.
No kidding.
Was arrested earlier Monday after owner said he refused to pay a $50 bill at Vinino J's Italian Gourmet on Charles Street. Nice little commercial there for them.
Does he just like seizure right out the door? Right out the door?
I can't pay. Exactly. Too bad I'm having a seizure. I'll see you guys next week.
It looks like they call the paramedics.
Oh, yeah. Right here it says, the night before he went limp at upscale barbecue restaurant Oliver Specks in Harbor East when it was time to settle on the $90 tab, according to the owner and patron. Quote, the paramedic showed up and said, looks like our guy's back. said Oliver Specks chief chef Jesse Sandlin. He would not wake up, and they were like, come on, Andy, stop faking. The paramedics did. That sounds like a TV show that's not good.
Totally does, yeah.
Not a good TV show.
Well, there was the Czech Polonic book called Choke, where the main character, it wasn't to get out of paying for food. What he would do, he would choke in restaurants to get people to come over and give him the Heimlich maneuver so that they'd get that feeling that they saved his life.
Yeah.
And then he'd get birthday cards every year from them and sometimes money and wow. That so it was like this whole this whole thing.
He would fake it?
Yeah, he would fake choking at restaurants.
What's his last name? Kalonic?
No. Harry Chuck Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. The guy
who did Chuck Palahniuk who did Fight Club, the writer.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. He wouldn't do it himself.
Yeah. You ever had a Chuck? You ever had a Chuck Palahniuk? It's rough, it's really rough. Hey, check it out, everybody! Audible.com sponsoring today's program.
Yay.
Go get yourself a free audiobook. It's really, really, really simple to do that. And because I love Audible so much, and they have so much selection to choose from, when I say that, I'm talking like 150,000 titles across all kinds of literature. It doesn't have to be just fiction. If you don't like fantasy books, fine, they got you covered in some other way. You like your Tom Clancy spy novels? Good deal. All that stuff's up there, too. Find it all. Audible.com is the place. And to get a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. That's /morningstream. Get a free audiobook today, right now at audible.com. All right. How about one of these?
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Filmsack.com, where bad movies have no idea what's coming. This week, Escape from L.A.
Yeah, dude.
Subscribe today at Filmsack.com.
It's up there now. Go listen to it. We had fun with that.
That was fun, yeah.
If we've ever had a movie more suited for Filmsack, it's just about Escape from L.A.
Exactly.
Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you a believer? The Biebs, yeah.
The Biebs. I believe he exists.
Yeah, I believe he does as well.
Yes. How come there are no, instead of Bigfoot hunting, maybe these guys should go Bieber hunting.
Justin Bieber recently citing outside a Brazilian brothel. I don't know if you heard about this. You hear about
this?
Yes. Sent a bad message to his fans, but a brothel owner in Carson City, Nevada now wants to help the babyface singer maintain his clean reputation. Why is that written that way? There's two extra twos in there. How about a little editing there, Huffington Post?
No kidding.
Dennis Hoff, who owns the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, you know the one, is offering to Bieber a chance. This is really badly written.
I'm going to burn this article.
Is offering to Bieber a chance to become an apprentice pimp and his business partner. It's a safety issue, he says. I'm so afraid he's contracted a disease. You know, because he done had his wiener out down there in that brothel. Hoff told the Huffington Post. I'd read something called the Huffington Post.
Huffington Post.
I'd like him to go to a legal U.S. brothel so he doesn't endanger his fans. Doesn't endanger his fans? What are you implying?
Like, what's he doing at these brothels?
What's he doing with his fans later? Jeez.
To endanger his fans.
The 19-year-old singer and her friend reportedly spent 3 hours in a particular brothel in the Centaurios Bordello in Rio de Janeiro before the teen heartthrob snuck out, or as they wrote, sneaked out. Is that more correct? I don't know. Covered in a bed sheet. Maybe she's playing ghost.
Ew, I hope it was a clean one.
I'm going to bet $50 in my wallet. It is not. sources told Page Six that the Beeb left with two women. Bieber was identified by his wraparound wrist tattoo, which is visible in most of the photos, as well as his signature sneakers. Hoff's decision to take Bieber under his wing isn't just out of goodness of his heart. Quote, he's going downhill and we want to help him, he said. I know he's from Canada, but his fan base is here. So I'd like him to buy American, unquote.
He had a tough time in Brazil. There, Saturday night, and I just copied this link to you in Skype.
Mm.
He was on stage singing and got hit with a full water bottle and knocked the microphone out of his hands.
Oh gosh, really?
And then he just walked off stage. Okay. He glared at.
I'm playing this.
Okay, it's loud, so make sure. Way down. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Look at him just being a boob.
He's just like,
oh, you big boob.
Fine, I'm leaving.
Leaving. Look, I just want to know what happened to the Bieber that used to go, I just want to thank Jesus for helping me do what I do. I'm doing it all for Jesus. Remember that? Remember those days?
No, I don't.
Well, now he's down in some brothel doing it for Jesus. Yeah, for a long time it was all like Jesus talk.
He's doing it for Jesus. Yeah. Down in the brothel.
That is a pretty funny video.
Yeah.
I believe I will have to share that around today. Because that is a hoot.
Just his look that he gives the crowd like, yeah. Fine.
Nah, that's it. I'm leaving. Let's go
you
get some.
You ruined it for everybody. You.
Let's go get some hookers. finally, Michelle Pfeiffer reveals, Pfeiffer as I used to call her, reveals she was in a breatharian cult as a young actress.
I have never even heard of breatharian cult.
Me neither. So let's read on. Before she became a successful actress, Michelle Pfeiffer was a young Hollywood hopeful who got involved in a cult of breatharians when she was first starting out. The 55-year-old, she still looks great, by the way.
Yeah, she does.
Said she got caught up in a very controlling with a very controlling couple who believed in breatharianism and put her on a diet nobody can adhere to, she said. She made the shocking revelation during a recent interview with the Sunday Telegraph Stella magazine. Stella! Magazine. A breatharian is an individual who believes it's possible, and here you go, through meditation to reach a level of consciousness where one can obtain all sustenance from the air or sunlight, according to the Oxford Dictionary. So all you gotta do is sit there and go, and then the sun will give you all you need.
Weird. Yeah. Okay.
Quote, they worked with the weights, let's see, worked with weights and put people on diets. The thing was vegetarianism. Pfeiffer told the magazine. They were very controlling. I wasn't living with them, but I was there a lot, and they were always telling me I needed to come over more. I had to pay for all the time I was there, so it was financially very draining. They believed that people in their highest state were breatharian. I don't like any of that article because she sounds a little wacko.
She does, yeah.
So, not interested. There you go. That's your celebrity poop for the day. Breatharianism and Bieber throwing down the mic.
Conan the breatharian.
No, it's King Breatharian of the. He's the,
right of the. Of the
yeah, and his brother, the other Breatharian, thinks he should.
King's Landing. Yeah, yes,
exactly.
Right. Landing.
Breatharian something. Right. That's it for that. What's I got something from Ralph just in.
Morning. Stannis Breatharian.
This from Ralph. Morning and grats on the big 500 yesterday. Can I make it just a brief comment that all our emails are for the last couple of days are all. Happy 500.
Aww.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody who did that.
Yeah.
We are pleased to be here and do what we do. So you guys have been awesome. And that thing yesterday, that song was amazing.
Yeah, we honestly could not do what we do here without you. So
yeah. So thanks.
If you were listening to the sound of our voice, then our thanks go back out to you.
And if you're not listening to the sound of our voice,
then how are you hearing
this
right now?
F off. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the program. 5 great styles, 7 great colors, designed to sound great for all your music and talk needs. If you want to listen to that new Audible book, great way to do it is with a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds, and we'll save you some money. As always, 33% off. Use the code STREAM at checkout. Get that compatible, lifetime warranted durable set of earbuds from tweakedaudio.com. Get them today and replace the crap your thing came with. All right, Brian.
Well put. Wow. Is that their new slogan?
Succinct and to the point. It's on the box.
I love that.
Let's get to a song of some sort. What do you got for me?
All right. So Ali Smith, a.k.a. 40 Thieves in the Tadpool, wrote in, said, "Hi, Skirp and Burp and Dale. On the 5th of November, hopefully this is early enough, I'll be becoming a quarter centurion. Wow. And to honor this special occasion, I'd like to request a song. I really don't mind which song, but if Brian can manage something fireworks related, it would be awesome. If you don't know, 5th of November is Guy Fawkes Night in the UK. I trust Brian's judgment on these matters." Well, there's a big mistake right there.
Yeah.
"Thanks and love the show, though, Ali Smith, a.k.a. 40 Thieves in the Tadpool."
Oh.
So... Now I did get a fireworks song. I'm not putting a Katy Perry fireworks song in the show.
Mm. Thank you, by the way.
No problem. Mm-hmm. So everybody is familiar with that Schoolhouse Rocks cover CD that came out a while back.
Yeah, we played some recently from it, didn't we?
Right, yeah, Three is the Magic Number by Blind Melon, and there's a bunch of stuff like that. There was a second one that was way lesser known and was all the political stuff. It was all the Schoolhouse Rocks. It was called Schoolhouse Rocks the Vote, and it was that one wasn't even on there. It was
that's crazy.
What else was on there? Let me pull it up here because I'm curious to tell you.
Congress did the thing when the president signed it in. And
we
like
the
that.
People in order to form
a more perfect. Yeah.
Now, yes. So let's see. Rock. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. "I'm Just a Bill Is" on there by Joan Osborne and Isaac Hayes.
Oh, cool.
Which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
John Popper does the preamble, the one we were just singing.
Wait, he's the fat harmonica guy from...
The formerly fat harmonica guy from Blues Traveler.
Yep.
Etta James does "Suffer Until Suffrage." "Get to Know Your Electoral College" with Spicy Tea and Sheehan. Don't know that one. Anyway. The Sugar Hill Gang, a hip, a hop, a hippity hop.
Hip, don't stop with the bang, bang, boogie to the up, scoot,
and
the boogie.
Something about your hands up like you don't care.
And the boogie to be,
That's the one. They contributed a song called Fireworks. Now, it's funny that this is being requested in honor of Guy Fawkes Day because this is a very American song. Like, it's talking about fireworks on the 4th of July and the Independence Day. But I thought it was funny, number one, because it's the Sugar Hill Gang and this and that, that in and of itself just makes it great.
Sure.
And B, hey, it's fireworks related and it's not Katy Perry, so what are you complaining about?
Yeah.
So here you go, the Sugar Hill Gang and Fireworks, going out to Ali Smith, and happy Guy Fawkes Day or Guy Fawkes Night. Remember, the 5th of November.
Indeed. Here it is. It's fireworks. When we come back, we'll have the fitness geek, Bill Duran. We'll have Jury Duty with Justin Robert Young. And we'll have a whole lot more. Stay tuned.
Yeah, boy. Woo-ha! Come on.
All right. Time to light the power. Move aside. I want to get the fireworks, man.
Declaration of Independence, baby.
Going out now. 4th of July. You know I got to see that, baby.
Come on,
oh, there's gonna be fireworks on the 4th of July. Red, white, blue fireworks like diamonds in the sky. We're gonna shoot the entire works on fireworks that show. We declared our liberty 200 years ago, yeah.
In 1776, there were fireworks too. And the original colonists, their tempers blew. Like Thomas Paine once wrote, and it's only common sense that the government won't give you your rights. You better get a new government.
Some people tried to fight it, but a committee was formed to write it. And it was Benjamin Franklin, Philip Livingston, John Adams, Roger Sherman, and Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, they got it done, yeah. The Declaration of Independence. In 1776, the Continental Congress, they said that we were free. They said we had the right of life and liberty. When England heard the news, they just about blew their stack. But the colonies lit the fuse and there ain't no turning back.
They had enough of injustice, but even if it really hurts, if you don't give us our freedom now, you're gonna see some fireworks.
On the 4th of July they signed it, and 56 names underlined it. And now to honor these first 13 states, we turn the sky into a birthday cake. They got it done, yeah. The Declaration, yeah. The Declaration of Independence in 1776.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Fireworks, 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 fireworks!
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I like those fireworks.
Going down. Look at it. Woo.
Hey, kids, you like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Look what's for dessert, Marvin. New cool and creamy pudding. Well, it's different. It comes frozen.
I don't care for pudding, Doris, frozen or otherwise.
Well, try the vanilla for my sake.
It's too smooth to be pudding. Tastes like custard in eclairs.
It's vanilla pudding. Well, you just try the chocolate, you'll see. How's that?
Too rich for pudding. Sort of like a rich chocolate mousse.
Honey, you didn't.
This is the morning stream, and we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Woo-hoo!
That guy does not believe anything his wife tells him.
No. And there's this weird, awkward, silent moment. Here, try it.
She's like, That's great. I think this is the guy.
Hey.
Is that? I think that's him.
Hey.
I'm not sure. I can't remember where I captured that from. But
yeah.
Hey.
All right. That is, by the way, the last of the pudding commercials that I have, so... Rest easy.
So rejoice or don't, depending on how you feel about it.
Rest easy, America. Not here to bug you again with that.
That's right.
All right.
How did you like that the Sugar Hill Gang?
That was great. I just kept waiting for the chicken taste like wood. It never happened. But
doesn't it sound like what people do today to make fun of rap? Yep. Like, you know, when the Super Bowl shuffle and when Sam Malone rapped the sports on Cheers?
Yep. No, this is what people do when they can't rap now.
Right, exactly.
But it's funny because that stuff's how it all started.
My name is Brian, and I'm here to tell you.
Exactly. Curtis Blow, Sugar Hill Gang.
Right.
And there are a couple of others, but they all did that early. Run DMC was kind of some of that, but they departed from that.
Yeah, they got out of that, right.
It's great. It's totally great. You know who can rap like a mother?
Puta.
That too. All right. Let's, that was just in my eye, my frame of vision, so I clicked it. Let's do what we do now, which is call Bill Duran. Because for some reason, he thinks we can become more fit. So let's see what he says about that.
I don't know why he's thinking that.
I lost 5 pounds moving, so...
God, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was great. I don't know if I've gained it back yet. We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, oh wait, here's a theme for him. We'll do this one. There he is. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Good morning.
Hooray!
How are you, Bill?
I am reporting in from sunny Southern California right now. It's quite nice out.
What are you doing there? What's going on?
You're already there?
Well, I came down last weekend for Stan Lee's Kamikaze.
Oh, right. I saw the photos of you with Iron Man.
Yeah, me and my new best friend, Iron Man, we're total pals now.
Okay. Yes. All right. That's great. Yeah. So you're going to be there for the duration. We'll see you at BlizzCon, and you'll already have been there.
That is correct. Mm. Since I was down here anyway, I decided to just stay with my brother and sister-in-law for the week and enjoy the nice weather, and then I'll go up to Anaheim.
Wait, it's your brother? Oh, no, it's your brother and then his wife, right?
No, my wife's sister and...
Oh, they're husband. Both in-laws. Got it. Okay.
There you go.
That works. The math has settled into my mind. you and I shared the virtual stage a little bit on Tested.com's Oktobercast, where you were both offering up stuff for auction, or not auction, but for their raffle thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of your guns from your Kickstarter and a couple of prints from me, and that was cool. They earned a bunch of money for that. That was awesome.
They sure did. Yeah. Any chance you watched Will play horror games on the Oculus Rift? Because that was fun.
I did. It was amazing. That and the hot pepper stuff was amazing.
Oh yeah.
The goodness of that never ends. So anyway, it was cool to see you all up in that again this year with something cool to give away.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, lots of fun. Well, excellent. So give us some damn health tips. Like, how do I recover from moving for a week when everything hurts and I don't feel like working out? What the hell am I going to do?
I'll let you know when I know. I am on weekend 4 of 5 conventions in a row.
Oh man.
So I feel like a huge slug. Just I haven't checked. I'm convinced I've put on 20 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it just feels that way. I'm sure it's not, but it feels that way.
Is it because you're eating bad when you're on the road? Is that why?
That's well, part of it. I mean, and not I don't want to blame them, but my sister-in-law was like, hey, we made lasagna, so you should eat all of it. And I did. And my brother-in-law is like, hey, I brew my own beer. We should drink a bunch of that. And I was like, okay, let's do that too.
Yeah.
So, you know, the hospitality thing, it's hard to say no.
No, it's even rude in some cases. So you're just trying to keep up a good decorum and your manners. I get it. Your mom would be proud. Sure.
Yeah.
I understand. But so when does it end for you? I assume, see, the holidays are bad too. So now we got to start eating a bunch of crap for Thanksgiving and Christmas. How are you going to deal with that?
The irony is that I will not be seeing any of my family on Thanksgiving or Christmas. So
weird.
I'll keep it good then.
Yeah. Why is that? What are you doing? You're not going to see anybody?
Well, I live 3,000 miles away from my family. So.
Oh, gosh. That's like space. That's crazy.
I know.
So, wait. Your family from, let me guess. Hold on. They are from New Hampshire. No?
A different new state.
Okay. Hold on. New.
There's only one.
York.
There you go. New York.
Oh, okay. Okay. Upstate?
Oh, no. Wait. New Jersey.
What about New Jersey? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. New Jersey. Okay.
That doesn't really even count as a state.
Good point.
Says someone from New York.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, I've bothered you enough about how fat you're getting. What are you going to do to help us not be fat? What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I mean, congrats on the 500 episodes, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Congrats to you on, you were, what, the third week in? Something like that? You started? Second week? When did you start doing this tip thing?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. This is the 93rd Fitness Geek, if my notes are correct.
Yeah, not that you're counting, but yeah.
Yeah, so whatever that math works out.
I don't know what it is. Someone in the chat room will figure it out. But you've been here for a good portion of this time, so big thanks for helping us make Tuesdays what they are.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Consider that, though. Consider how long it's been and think about all the progress we as a community have made. Like literally losing thousands of pounds, thousands.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I don't know the exact figure. It was something over.
No, but 2000. It is over a ton. Yeah.
Yeah.
A ton. To lose it.
A ton of geeks have vanished from the planet thanks to us. Right.
Yeah, we've rid the world of. Well, I mean, you have to think.
It wasn't really a ton of geeks. It was just a ton of geek.
Yeah, a ton of goo is what it was. But
that's right. But
it's a pretty impressive mark to leave. You know, like that's a bunch of fat, and I don't mean fat people. I mean fat from those people that is gone. More room in public transportation. Less annoying at a movie theater. Feel better all day. The less crap food to buy. Like, you know, there's all these benefits of
when I fly to BlizzCon, I'm guessing that there won't be as much geek hanging over the armrest into my space.
A lot more breathing space at Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That's what I need. Some of that. No, that is good. I feel like that stuff's pretty damn impressive on the whole. And we shouldn't stop now. We should keep going until we're at 3,000 or 4,000.
That is correct. In fact, and I want to specifically thank the Valentines for really spearheading the initiative over at the Lose It group. They currently have a challenge going on right now for 2014. And let's see, I think like 150 people are in it, and they've already lost over 600 pounds. That's pretty, pretty crazy. So if you are looking to challenge yourself and maybe drop a couple pounds, that's something to go check out.
Yeah. And they can get there via, I forget, probably, what's the best way to go? Like the Facebook page, and that'll get people where they need to go? Because I don't think there's a straight-up URL to the Lose It page, is there? I don't know.
I don't know. There is a Facebook page. that I don't remember the URL to, but the Lose It group, like Frog Pants Lose It group or something like that. And if you go to Lose It and make an account and look up Frog Pants, you'll find the group there and you can join in there.
Yeah, chat room scrambling to find the URL, so we'll have something here shortly. So anyway, there's that. Oh, here it is. Facebook.com/group/Frog Pants Lose It. There it is.
Yeah. This current challenge, I think, started, and I've been really bad about keeping up on the Lose It group, but I think it started at Nerdtacular. And there are people in that challenge who have lost 40 or 50 pounds since then already.
Good Lord, man.
Really,
wow.
Really impressive, yeah.
So I lost about, I estimate, between 4 and 5 during the move.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure that's temporary, though, because I just, that always is. Like, it's a short-term kind of burst of weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could hold that off, that would put me at almost 30 pounds since July.
Wow,
so,
man.
Yeah. So I'm trying. I'm seeing if I can do that. I'm going to try to hold that off if I can. And I'll lose money at BlizzCon just because that's what I do at conventions. I don't eat right. And I, by that, I mean I don't indulge at all. I, like, don't eat.
Oh, yeah.
Which is totally stupid because you should eat, mm-hmm. right? You need your energy. You need to do your thing. But I'm always either, like, too running around to remember to before it's too late. Like, I'll have some kind of sugar crash upstairs in the press room. Like, in 2011, I remember I did an interview with one of the WoW dudes. And finished the interview. It was me and Veronica. And when I went into that interview, I was up and going and energetic and awesome. Let's do this interview, and recorded the thing. And by the time I walked out of there, I almost needed help getting out of the freaking building because I was so weak and I hadn't eaten anything that day. So don't do that. Don't be like me is the PSA for today. Eat something, damn it.
But try to eat healthy.
Yeah.
You know, what do you recommend, like, snack things to maybe have in your pockets as you go to BlizzCon? So you're not, you know, running over to the hot dogs and the hamburgers and stuff there. I mean, just something to tide you over. Like,
yeah, Bill, what's good? Like jerky,
granola bars.
What
always really like granola bars. I mean, the idea behind trail mix has always been, like, you know, good energy fast for when you're out hiking on the trail.
Yeah.
And that's pretty similar to a convention experience. So keep a pocket full of trail mix maybe, or like a granola bar or something. The good kinds, not like the ones covered in chocolate.
Right. Yeah.
Rally around the family with a pocket full of trail mix. That's what I always say. Well, excellent.
But you're in luck, though. I'll be at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So I'll run up to you and be like, hey, Scott, let's go get some food, buddy. Mm-hmm. You'll be like, but then I might puke. Oh. And then I'll give you a granola bar and you'll eat it. You'll be okay.
You'll be able to judge the granola bars that I bring and say, how are these? Are these okay?
I'm excited. Yeah. So here's what I'm excited about. The way this con goes, or has gone for me in the past, is... And this year is going to be worse because Thursday I'm with that documentary film thing most of Thursday. And then a big chunk of Friday I'm doing that, but I don't know when exactly. So it's sort of a little bit up in the air. But then there's, like, floor time at the con, interviews arranged by Blizzard PR. Like, all that stuff's going to be happening Friday. Saturday I love because Saturday is the day where it's mostly, for me, going to be about the guild hall and seeing people and shaking hands and Blizzard people coming in there and out of there doing a live show if we can arrange it. Like, that's my day. That's the day that I like. And then my wife and, like, Nicole can go watch Blink 182 because I could give 3 shits about that band.
I'll be going with them.
I'll go with them too.
Great.
Yeah,
they'll have dates because Mark's not coming. So it'll be, Mark is coming. So he'll probably stay with me, honestly. Mark doesn't like those crowds as much as, or any more than I do, but whatever.
Me and Nicole are going to crowd surf. It's going to be awesome.
Go for it. Knock yourselves out.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'm really looking forward to that day because it's when everybody gets to really hang out and meet, and I'm stoked about that. So anyway, it's going to be fun. Don't overeat. Don't undereat.
Right.
And don't wear deodorant. There's your 3 things you got to worry
about.
Don't
wear deodorant?
No, do wear it. Do.
Okay.
Extra amounts of it. In fact, just strap a Old Spice dispenser under each pit.
Yeah.
And then walk around like that. That's my...
There's a Kickstarter idea right there.
Right. What would you call that? The con... what would you call it? What's the name of that thing?
The pit sprayer? No? I don't know. We'll circle back.
Okay, all right. The pits.
Take this offline.
The pits. Stretch goals. Stretch goals include a crotch attachment.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Crotch attachment.
That'll be good.
Yep.
All your dark and horrible places. Anyway, anything else for the day before you go off to whatever you're doing?
No, I'm painting up some Kerrigan rifles to bring down to BlizzCon. I will not have a costume because I've been an insane person lately. So I'm going to be in civvies the whole time, just getting my nerd on at BlizzCon. Yeah,
that must be nice a little bit to just
after. After 4 straight weeks of costume conventions, yeah, it'll be nice.
Yeah, just kind of just sort of observe instead. Is your wife coming with you or no? Just you?
Just me. Just this guy.
All right. Yep. And your twin brother nowhere around that we know of?
Not that I know of. I'm waiting for him to like jump out of a shrub and be like, ha ha!
He's been known to do it. Brian, you were there when he did it, right? Weren't you standing there when that happened? When it was down with the ratchet or claptrap thing?
No, I saw the I did see Claptrap at the NSFW thing, but
I thought you were in the hall when his brother surprised him that he was even there.
No.
So somebody else witnessed that and told me about it.
Yeah, I think it was Jury.
May have been Jury or Tom or somebody. Well, excellent. Very exciting. Can't wait to
so
see everybody
excited.
There. Yep. In the meantime, Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprops.com, facebook.com/punishprops, and look for all sorts of Anaheim goodness coming up this weekend. Bill,
darn straight.
Take it easy. Stay out of trouble. And if I had one last piece of advice, it would be this right here. Hold on.
You think you're smart.
There you go. All right. See you, man. Take it easy.
See you guys. Bye.
See you this week.
I couldn't find a good one. It's weird that that's this week. I need to get into gear. That's happening this week. Isn't that weird? That seems a little weird.
Whoa. It does. Oh, my God. I know. And, you know, 48 hours from now, I'm going to be in... I'm going to be at the airport getting on a plane.
That's right. Wait, 48? Oh, my gosh.
48.
That's about how long for me. Whoa, Justin that's came right. and then went. Hold on.
Oh, I've heard that about him.
I know, right? Oh, weird. His reputation precedes him. Oh, what the heck?
That's right, exactly.
It won't let me add him. Let's try it again. Justin. Seat of our pants, folks. That's how we run things.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Ringing. Nope. Kicked him out again. Maybe he's having ear problems
this
morning.
Maybe it's Skype. Yeah, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's just Skype.
Well, I know the new version of Skype is utter
every
garbage.
Every one of the most recent versions of Skype has been utter garbage.
Yeah, I hate the new version, so I had to uninstall it. All right, let's try him again. Did you hear that sound? That was him.
Oh, I heard like a little click.
Yeah,
that was him?
A little eh. All right, let's try it again. Oh, he says 2 seconds.
Okay.
He just texted me. Okay. No problem. Oh, he's probably somewhere and he's vigorously hanging up on me. I'm sitting here thinking, oh, it's something technical. Bing, bling,
he's
bling,
recording
bling.
He's recording something and he keeps getting boop, boop, boop.
Oops. I didn't mean to do that to him. All right. Well, we'll let him go for a minute. And whenever that happens, I'd like to do a quick test. I'd like to do a quick check of the latest news. So, Brian, something I talked about on Twitter this morning.
Yes.
This shooting at the LAX airport, right?
Yeah,
and
last
then
there, week.
Yep, and then one yesterday at a New Jersey mall.
Paramus.
Right? Ironically, Paramus, both people are from New Jersey in both cases.
Right.
I don't think there's any real connection there, but whatever. Oh, he's on with a client, he says.
Okay.
Justin is. It got me to thinking about... If all your barometer for the current crime rate in this country or the world in general was based on 24-hour cable networks, you would not have an accurate view of what actual crime statistics are right now.
Right, because you'd just be seeing...
It's all the super... What do you call it? It's all the... There's a word.
Sensationalism.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
it's all like, ooh, a terrible thing happened. We're going to focus on that for 24 hours now and tell you nothing but things about that, things connected to that and how terrible everything is.
We're going to tell you the same information we know about it, not very much, but we're going to keep saying it in different ways.
Right. And because of that, oh, hey, wait, I hear something.
I do, I hear
breathing. I'm going to hold that important thought while I do this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young, good morning.
Hi, friends.
Oh, no.
Where are you? You sound so robotic. Where
Skype
are you?
Skype is a little...
Awesome.
No, a little better.
Hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, now you're much better.
Much, much better. Right. Where are you at, man?
I'm driving to Palo Alto. And I just... The people that I needed to talk to yesterday decided to call me, like, now.
Perfect timing.
You know? Yeah. Which is always the best. It's like the one time that I need to not be on the phone.
Right.
Because, like, literally whenever anybody, whenever there's, like, Angry Birds would like to let you know that birds are fun. Like, as an alert, like, knocks you off Skype.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, really? Those alerts?
No, yeah. No, I don't think so. But in my head, I'm angry at everything. So
So wait a minute, though. What's going on in Palo Alto, and how good is the internet there when you cross that bridge?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It actually, a rainbow it just shoots into your brain, and you it rattles around, and then it downloads every album you ever wanted as a child via Napster.
Perfect. Yeah, they're all the Muppet albums is all I cared about as a child. But yes, that's great. So, Justin, what's going on, man? How are you? What's been happening? Oh, by the way, thanks for your part in the 500 episode singing bit. That was great. Yes.
That was not me. That was all Revan Geek, man. He was, and I went back and listened to the episode yesterday because I wanted to hear your guys' reaction to it. But if I could just take a moment, Revan Geek, he worked so hard on that. And when I say work so hard, I know for a fact it was a really hard time just making me do it because I am very not good at doing things. And he was very on top of me about making sure it happened. And I was obviously happy to be a part of it,
right.
But he deserves even more credit than you guys gave him yesterday. He was a absolute a beast in terms of putting that all together.
Yeah, I agree. He knocked it out of the park, and it was mm-hmm. It's funny, your part of it is the part that hit me as, okay, that now I understand how big in scope this is going to be. If he got Justin with his schedule and his flight time,
right.
And his everything, if he got him to sing these parts, then this is truly something special.
I was actually shocked, you know, that like your sister Wendy was the one that kind of.
Oh
no!
Crap! Dang it! Poo! Ah, there he goes!
Oh shoot!
Right in the middle of the important bit.
Right.
I texted Wendy back. I said, "Aren't you moving to Amsterdam?" Let's see what she says about that.
Nice. Nicely done.
He may have gotten a call again. Because now
me. I'm sure that was a whole Skype.
Probably.
Golly, it's brutal.
I know, man. What the hell, man? He's probably he's driving. He's got spotty tower availability or something.
Well, finish your thought about people right. watching from other countries and seeing our 24-hour news and thinking that we're the most.
Well, it's just easy to see these things, right? But even internally, forget about externally. Forget about you know, them where they are. From our vantage point, it looks so ultraviolent and so like, man, it must be on the rise. It's getting worse. I can't go anywhere without getting shot at. You know, there's this overarching sort of human fear thing that kicks in mm-hmm. because this is what we've been told and shown. So what I like to do when I start feeling that way is I like to go look up actual statistics, like find hard numbers about how many murders have there been today versus years ago. Okay, here's Brian. Here's Justin. I called him Brian, but here's who we call Justin. He's not Brian. Okay. Hello, Justin. Are you back? Are you there?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Are you there?
What the heck?
What am I hearing?
I don't even know. My other computer just made a fart. Hold on.
Oh.
Okay. He was there for a second, and then he went away. All right. Well, while he's calling. So I looked up these statistics. Mm-hmm. We are at an all-time low as far as gun violence, A, and B, fatalities from said gun violence is concerned. The only consistent statistic is that when violent crimes do occur, they're mostly using guns for those. Mm. So guns are still the choice for those violent crimes, but the violent crimes on the whole have dropped everywhere. Even in areas with high crime rates, they have had a relative drop along with everywhere else. So if you looked at like the numbers in the 80s, they are ginormous compared to now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kids and weren't even thinking about it, right?
Right.
So my point is, it's the shark attacks are on the rise routine. When the news has nothing to talk about, or when they've got something to focus on, somebody got bit by a shark, suddenly shark attacks are on the rise. But actually, there haven't been shark attacks in 20 years or something, or at the lowest point ever, or something dumb like that.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And it made me feel a little better. But there was still a lot of debate on the internet about it, and some people think I'm being anti-gun when I say things like this, or that I'm being pro-gun. but I'm not.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All right, there's Justin again. Let's see if this works. Justin, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Oh, damn, dude.
Oh, my gosh. This is
this is terrible. It's horrible. Let's try it again. That's frustrating. Anyway, it's just been interesting to get some of the feedback. Most people are fine.
Yeah. Makes sense, though.
So this one guy made a point. Matthew Just on Twitter says, violent crime on a whole is down. The percentage, however, is back up to some of the early 90s levels. So it's true. It fluctuates. You know, it'll go up and down. But this idea that you look at, you know, perception versus reality is always a very interesting sociological sort of question for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always fascinated by it.
Is there a difference, though, in the kind of violent crime? Like, are we, it seems like we're seeing way more random shootings in public places than ever. And maybe there are other kinds of crime that have gone down to bring down the amount of violent crime compared to the 90s. But it seems like that aspect of it, yeah, that part of it,
like,
is
where
huge.
They're doing it versus right. Where, yeah. So, right. So that's a really good question. I'd be curious to know, because I want to know how much of that would be, again, my perception based on what the news is telling me versus the truth. And my suspicion is that there's just so much more coverage, and we know so immediately when somebody fires off a shot in a public mall or something, mm-hmm, that contributes to the overall sense that somehow something's increasing. But the coverage and the truth are not necessarily congruous. Now, that being said, there may be a case to be made where it says, all right, overall, crime is way lower than it's ever been, but incidences of those crimes happening in public are on the rise or something. That would be really interesting to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm no criminologist. I'm no expert. Certainly no statistical expert, but I am very curious about all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what do you think? I think, are we losing?
I don't
Justin?
Know.
Do you want to throw emails in here?
And I'm going to try them one more time.
Okay.
And then we'll see. And if not, we may just end because I have a meeting to go to anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Meeting.
I got a meeting to go to. All right. One more time, Justin. This is your chance. Your time to shine, buddy. Time for internet to bless you, to touch you in your swimsuit place. Oh, there
hello?
He is. There he is. Hello. Hello.
There he is.
Hello.
Ah, the effort was worth it. Hello. Good morning.
God damn it.
Dude, it's cool, man. You got weird towers. Who knows?
No. Well, I have no idea how any of this. I mean, I know how it started. We were talking. We were having a good thing.
Yeah.
And then what we do is you hire actors for the Go game.
Right.
And literally, as if just to test my patience, an actor called to let me know, mind you, this game does not start. I'm not supposed to meet these people for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Calls me to let me know that his Caltrain is running late an hour before, which means that either A, this was designed by a larger authority to get me angry so when I eventually got on the morning stream, I'd yell, or he hasn't set his dumb watch ahead and thinks
right.
He's late.
Right. Yeah, he's awesome. Still on daylight, or pre-daylight savings.
That's great, dude. He thinks he's going to be late. Really, he's going to be an hour
exactly
early.
Exactly an
so
hour.
So he's panicking about the fact that his Caltrain's not there.
Right.
Meanwhile, I've also just realized that I'm a big, fat, dummy idiot for not just doing these calls on my iPad as opposed to my phone.
Well, you have LTE or 4G or something on the iPad,
yeah,
right? Okay.
So now I'm on the iPad now, and hopefully we will no longer have these, right, like, random drop-offs. And now, as for why, I mean, I called you like 4 times, and you picked up, and I couldn't hear you or you couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
That happened, who goddamn knows?
Nobody knows, dude. There are mysteries in this life we'll never truly understand.
And I'm listening, and you guys are having like a really controversial gun conversation, and I'm like, yes! This is what I want to talk about, not guns.
Let's get Justin in here to talk about the Bigfoot shooting.
Yeah, yeah, we should. Yeah, I'm sure you. I'm sure you saw that. But this whole thing with the guns thing, I actually do have a question for you because you tend to be on the side of everybody. Slow down for a second. Let's calm down and look at the numbers, kind of guy, right?
Yes.
So let's address specifically the question that Brian and I have, which neither of us have an answer for, which is this: we both agree that sensationalism and 24-hour news networks and all of that hubbub tends to take a shooting at a mall and blow it up so big that the nervous public, it becomes more nervous. They feel like it's on the rise. What's happening to our cities? What is going to happen to our children? They start freaking out and they start catastrophizing based on that kind of external feedback about a thing they can't control.
Is catastrophizing a word? Because if it's not, it should be.
Yeah, I think it is. According to Wendy, it is, but I could be wrong.
Catastrophizing?
She uses it all the time, so I assume it's a word. But that may just be because it's convenient to use for her purposes. I don't know.
Gotcha.
And it's a it's a tendency I have. So the way I deal with it is I try to look up numbers. I try to be, you know, everyone calm down kind of attitude about it. And that's kind of how I deal with it. But here's the bigger question. So we do know statistically that crime is on the drop, that we're at low rates compared to previous years, and overall we're much lower than we've ever been, that it's becoming a more peaceful place to be, this world, on the whole. Doesn't mean it doesn't still have its problems and there aren't things to fix, but it's on the, you know, it's on the downturn. Here's the question.
Yeah.
When a thing does, do you think there is, however, a rise in public crimes in the sense that, like, a guy in a mall with a gun that used to be maybe a guy in his apartment with his wife, but now it's a guy in the mall. Do you think that public display of shootery, because maybe they get more famous for it, or maybe it's a bigger, flashier way out, or maybe it's because people tweet about it? I don't know what their motivations are, if there even are any motivations, but do you think that kind of crime is actually on the rise? Because I have no data to support or refute it. That make sense? Did he go away?
No, it doesn't make sense.
Okay. Sorry, you're just delayed.
It doesn't make sense. Is that you're asking the guy who sang Boodle Deedle Doo? I mean, here's all I'll say is I don't know whether or not, you know, and I don't even know how you would quantify that. If it's like shootings in places. I don't know.
Breaking up.
How you would.
Oh!
Jeez.
He had a really good point to make. This is the worst ending of any show we've ever had. crap. All right, hold on. One more try, because I wanted to hear that point. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. You there?
Oh.
Sorry, bad internet. Bad internet.
Bad internet.
Okay.
I swear to God, I always say this. I'm never doing this on the stupid road again.
Until the next time. No worries. So wait, you were making a really good point. What the heck? Where were you with that?
I have no idea. And to be honest, I don't know how you'd quantify it, because really what you're getting at is, are people shooting other people for notoriety? You know?
Right.
That in this ever connected 24-hour media, social media world, are people doing it because they are going to get something out of it? Which I think is in a weird way, kind of an odd construct for us to look at it by, because that's us rationalizing with healthy minds how we might construct somebody getting to that point. When I don't think that that's really the case. I think when you deal with people who are shooters, or at least when you read about them, they seem like very deeply disturbed and troubled individuals. More so even than like what we would consider sociopaths. So what I do know for a fact, so I don't know the answer to your question. What I do know is that there are a lot of forces on all sides of these things that happen that are almost dependent on these events. You know, whether or not they are indicative of a larger trend, you have lobbying groups and politicians and everything, and not to mention the news media itself, which has to fill airwaves and oftentimes gets ratings by way of violent, violent stuff. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing or indicative that they're terrible.
Right.
And I would almost go the other way and say that the reason why we care so much about violent events is because we are a more empathetic society.
Mm.
And we feel deeply emotional when people die, and especially when they're shot in terrible ways, or they are the most vulnerable of our society, like children, stuff like that.
Sure.
So you have a lot of elements that are forward facing, that deal with the public and interact with the people that are around them, that are dependent on these things. And especially when it's a political argument, and you know, there's a threshold of what is coverable, right?
Sure.
And sure, that is who talks about it. So if a senator says something, it will likely get covered. Not to mention the fact that senators have things called PR departments that send out press releases and ask for you to cover things. You know, when you're working a newspaper, back in the day, we had a fax machine. You also have emails and stuff like that, where it's like you just constantly have people, you know, sending you things. You know, they just send you, like, the senator wants to talk about this or has a statement about this. And that way you can just quote that senator right there. So it's like somebody gets shot. All of a sudden, all the local politicians talk about it. National media talks about it. And then you have the 2 or 3 day after effect, like we are in this particular period, where we have a president who has publicly stated that gun control is a priority for him. That now a shooting, whether or not it is indicative of a larger trend, separate it from that for a second, is now a 4 day media story.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I don't know if there is any way, even if it is not indicative of a larger trend, and that shooting violence is going down and there is less of it in this particular climate. And I mean, like, in, you know, these months, this where we are now, 2 years ahead of, I mean, let's say 5 years ahead of time, 6 years ahead of time, and until the end of it, at the very least, this presidency, I mean, not understanding who will be the president after Obama and whether or not they will make gun control a priority, that we are in a particularly sensitive time for it being, every shooting being a bigger story.
Right.
You know?
Right. I agree with that. I don't know how you'd know.
That affects how we look at it.
Right.
And the one thing that we do know is absolutely for sure is no matter where we are in terms of violent crime, media has grown exponentially.
Sure.
You know, there is more and more ways for us to look at stuff. And media will always be, as it always should be, you know, filtered through human eyes. You know, you are being delivered stories based on the opinions of other people whose job it is to tell you stories.
How about my theory that the drop is partially, if there's a drop in crime statistically overall, that is partially due to the fact that it is so incessantly covered and even sensationalized in a lot of cases. That is actually, like, say, the Smoking Truth campaign being directly linked to a drop in teen smoking. Is it possible that the drop in violence is also due to our overblown view of violence to the point that it is actually making people less violent? Do you think it's a valid theory at all? I get that feeling sometimes.
I mean, it's just maybe a feeling. I think that we are a more empathetic culture. You know, I don't know. I always get very, very weird when everybody wants to kind of assign neat and tidy motivations for people who do things that are very, you know, very, very off what we would consider to be the cultural norm, like murdering and stuff like that, and like mass killings and everything. Because I just think that, you know, so many times you're just dealing with people that have real mental problems that go beyond what our rationalizing brains think of. And so when, you know, so I'm not, because usually people go the other way, Scott. I mean, people think that, well, people are, you know, this person murdered these people because they would get on television.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because now we have so many more platforms and they will, you know, they'll be, oh, well, if I can see myself on TV, if I can get my manifesto out to the world, if I can, you know, become a martyr for a cause, that it's worth murdering these people for.
Don't you wish that guy would have just made really bad claymation on YouTube and tried to start that way? Don't you wish that was his mode?
Well, I mean, who knows how, I mean, thinking of it that way, then, you know, look at all the bad claymation on YouTube and think of all the lives we've saved.
Oh, hey, see, there's a great way to look at it. Hadn't you thought know? Of that. Yeah.
That's a veritable Holocaust that we have put off. allowed these weirdos to make their creepy clay puppetry.
That's great. I hadn't really thought of it that way. You've changed the way I look at all this now. That's impressive. Nice work. All right.
I wanted to ask you guys something real quick.
All right.
That kind of got stumped on by the...
By guns. By the
stuff. Yeah. So, bullying has become, has been a huge thing. And has recently kind of reached up again because of this.
Incognito?
Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin story with the Dolphins, which for those, for the sports uninclined, a offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins left the team because of bullying issues. Everybody kind of called him soft. And then it was leaked, presumably by the guy who left, voicemails that a guy who was on the leadership council for the Dolphins and his teammate on the offensive line called them all sorts of nasty stuff and apparently like borderline extorting money from him based on the idea that he's a rookie and rookies deserve to pay money.
Yeah.
But I was curious to ask both of you, especially considering that you have four kids between you of varying ages. Who very much came up in this era of a renewed interest in the idea that bullying was something that we needed to correct.
Yeah.
Do you think that A, bullying is more of a problem now than it has been in 10 years, or that B, our view of bullying is archaic, much in the way that we have changed our opinions on, gay marriage and cigarette smoking and other stuff that has kind of gone the way of history?
Well, all right. Here's what I think. I think it's no worse today than it's ever been. I think that it's always been bad. And there are still certain parts of it that kind of drive me slightly nuts. I was never heavily picked on when I was a kid, but when I was picked on, it was before I had my growth spurt, and the minute I got tall is the minute it stopped.
Yeah.
So that was a weird thing to learn as a kid. Like, wow, a tall guy has an advantage. I don't get picked on now, and even though I was still skinny and kind of a dope and super geeky, I didn't get picked on at all when I hit 5'10 to my 6'2 range during junior high and high school. And I never really understood why, because I had a lot of shorty friends getting picked on all the time. Maybe because I called them shorty, I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing to learn. Secondly, again, it's like that media thing we're talking about. There's just a lot more exposure for it now. But there's a piece of it, and this is not me endorsing bullying at all, okay? Like, at all. My kids have been victims of it a couple of times, and you get in there as a parent, you try to do what you got to do, and whatever. But again, once they started getting tall, that all stopped. It's very strange with the height thing. But here's the thing that I worry about slightly, and that is that this is children's way, or one of kids' ways, of figuring out what power is, how it works, how to control it, where your empathy lies, if you have any at all. Like, it's a weird sifting process. Now, I don't think that people should allow bullying to happen, but there are times when you'll be watching your own kids when they're just little and you see one of them trying to take command of everything. Well, I'm in charge of this. This is mine because dad said it was mine. Well, I want to play too. Well, you can't play because I'm in charge. They start to play with these notions of what hierarchy is, what leadership is versus what tyrannical leadership is. This is how they learn. And like, the dating period is all about, how do I socialize with people of the opposite gender? And why is it so alien to me? And why is everything so freaking intense? And it's this, every one of these kinds of things in their lives are these stepping stones to hopefully healthy, mature adulthood. And if we are constantly blocking every conflict you see a kid ever have with anyone, I feel like we're robbing them of the potential of learning what real empathy can be, or learning what it means to stand up for yourself, or to stand up for others who can't, or give opportunities for kids to learn the hard way that their behavior sucked and they need to change the way they think about things. Like,
and when you're not there to protect them that first time, it's going to be devastating to them since they've been coddled for so long.
Right. And that's exactly, you mirrored exactly what I'm trying to say, and you said it in a much more concise and small way. I could have saved us a lot of time, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a little bit of me who worries that we miss I mean, look, a gang of five big kids ganging up on some, you know, short nerd and beating the hell out of him. That's not the condoning I'm talking about.
Sure, of course.
I'm talking about, it was important for me as a kid to figure out what it meant to not let this Matt Kellogg guy, I knew, not let him get under my skin.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
learning how to let that stuff go right off.
Right.
Slide out
right. It's important.
Allow me to play spokesman for the sissy industrial complex. that is turning out, you know.
I'm not just a member. I'm the president.
That's right. I am lobbyist for the sissy industrial complex.
All right.
What if what we are looking at right now, this conversation, is not about protecting kids from all conflicts, but from understanding where the healthy conflicts are and where the unhealthy conflicts are?
Right.
And the larger point of this, and what really interested me about the Incognito story as it unfolds, is that now this conversation is creeping upwards in age. That it's not just, oh, well, this happens on the schoolyard and this sets a bad pattern and we need to protect our kids because it's an impressionable age. And also, you know, the other problem about like the kid thing is that, like, yes, those conflicts are hard. You know, those are tough truths to learn, but oftentimes protection of those ideas can also kind of excuse persecution of people who, you know, that are in less fortunate positions or in, like, you know,
sure,
you know, the only black kid in school or the only gay kid in school or something,
right.
But what if we are in a fundamental cultural shift in understanding what all conflicts are and what conflicts in general are healthy and what conflicts in general are not healthy? Because, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen this discussion. I think it's a constantly ongoing conversation, but we might be at a point where, you know, what is, you know, is you, and you, like, to use the term bullying, like, what is bullying in the workforce? Because oftentimes, if you look at what the excuse is for, like, oh, well, like you said, you need to understand power dynamics. And part of understanding power dynamics are that there are bullies in the world. So dealing with bullies in the schoolyard gives you a good tester ground for dealing with that. But what if we are looking at bullies in the real world now?
Right.
You know, if now all of a sudden that's a cultural conversation in a way that it never really was before. And eventually we can all be big fat sissies who run around and how our feelings are.
Well, like, okay. So the other day I was reading I was looking at comments for one of my Vine videos, right? And Vine comments, for the record, are really the worst place ever to be ever in this world.
Have they taken the belt from YouTube?
I think they have. I mean, it's a smaller belt, or it's a smaller place, so it's not as much in everyone's consciousness yet, but it's worse. I think it's worse.
So I've actually found, like, there's still, like, you know, in the pockets of YouTube, and we'll just for shorthand say videos with girls and black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the worst element of YouTube, but by and large, like, not every YouTube comment is like just the N-word.
No,
like it used to be.
I feel like that's evening out. Yeah,
insightful stuff in YouTube comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stuff's starting to even out a little bit. The short, quippy kind of newness of Vine, I think, is weird. But I'm reading this comment, and the comment said, "This is dumb. You're dumb. Go kill yourself."
Oh my God!
Now. I read that, and also I checked his profile. Kid's like 12, you know,
yeah,
just some kid. And that stuff does roll off my back. I don't care. It could have been an adult and I wouldn't have cared, really. But I'm not going to lie. A little piece of me, not so much that my feelings are hurt, but a little piece of me goes, another one? Like, really? This is, and he's so new and fresh. Like, his whole life's ahead of him. This is how he's going to, you know, I start, like, overanalyzing it and thinking about it too much. In a way, he succeeded in a kind of quasi way of bullying me, in that it elicited a reaction that gave his stupid comment even a tiny piece of power. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. why not just translate? It's easy for, oh, my kids are getting bullied. This is trouble. Translate that to my, you know, your wife is being harassed at work. Your best friend is being called this at work because he only his left eye works or something. Or I couldn't think of a good one, but you know, people are going to get this all up through their life. If I had to tell you where my worst bullying experience, it was with adults. It wasn't when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. Like the conversation, I don't know whether the conversation has gravitated up and if stories like this have helped it gravitate upward toward the adult level of bullying. But what is internet trolling if not bullying of the highest order? You know?
Well, but in the same time, isn't it bullying of the lowest order because there's like literally no consequence?
Right. That's true.
It takes 2 seconds. You call somebody like Richie Incognito called Jonathan Martin a half N-word in a voicemail, right? Mm-hmm. And presumably we can only guess that he was not so shy. The only reason why we heard half N-word in a voicemail is because that's a recordable medium, that he called him plenty of words to his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a consequence there. Because even as gigantic as I think Patton Oswalt referred to him as confused racist Hulk.
That's pretty good.
You know, he was still talking to somebody who's 300 pounds and is about as extraordinarily gifted of an athlete as somebody, or 500 pounds, you know, 400 pounds, that is as gifted of an athlete as those people of that size can be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas on the internet, you know, it's a 12-year-old kid and you know, to... You know, I know when I was that age, I mean, who knows how I would have reacted, or we all would have reacted in this, you know, in this world where, you know, interacting with people is so easy. But I mean, I remember that when I was a kid, you know, it was kind of like understanding who you were and social dynamics were kind of like you were given a keyboard and you were just like, oh, well, what if I hit this key? Oh, people like me if I hit this key and I compliment them. Like, what if I point out the fact that person's ugly? Oh, wait, hold on. Like, some people might laugh at it, but also that person feels bad. And it's just, you just kind of get the keys into your...
Oh no.
Oh. Are you there?
And some people...
Oh, there you're there. Go ahead, keep going. You're good.
Hello?
You're good, you're good.
You know, so, I don't know. I mean, but on this, you can hit it over and over again. You're dumb and you can kill yourself.
Sorry, your internet went all hoochie, and it's too bad because you probably said the most insightful things man's ever heard, and we couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Are you there? Are you still there? We lost
him.
And there he goes. Into the sunset, everybody. It's a good conversation. Since we're not going to be here Thursday, we won't have any good deep stuff with Wendy, so I was digging that.
Right.
All right, well, I think that we'll call it
good. Good way to end this, right?
Good way to end it. Thank you, Justin. I am sorry we didn't get to say formal goodbyes. We'll do that again soon. Stupid internet. But we got the best stuff in, and that's what matters most. All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here and hanging out with us. We love you. Tomorrow, we got, what do we got? We got Tom Mayer. We have Nicole Spag. Mm-hmm. And we'll bring in Cleo early to sum things up on Wednesday.
Yay!
How about that? We'll wish her another happy birthday then. I do want to thank the team at Alpha Geek Radio for our live shoutcast stream, which is what Justin is hearing the show on as he tries to get to where he's going. Scott Fletcher does great voice bumpers, and we appreciate him as always. You can find us at frogpants.com/TMS, facebook.com/TheMorningStream. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And on Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. If we've learned anything today, it is not to bully each other. Brian. Right.
Or use Skype.
I definitely learned that today. Coverville's not till Thursday, right?
No. Well, it'll be Wednesday because I'll be traveling. So there will be a Coverville tomorrow, and I'll let you all know what it's going to be. But just to let you know, Lulu, Glenn Frey, and Joni Mitchell all have birthdays this week. So
I love you'll Joni probably Mitchell.
Hear. Do you?
Yeah.
I like some Joni Mitchell. I think that there's there's a time and a place.
Is she the one that does that song of that cover you love so much?
Both Sides Now.
I love that song.
Yep, that's a great song, and Big Yellow Taxi is great, and Anyway, so yeah, so look for stuff like that, but we'll talk about that more tomorrow.
All right, no problem.
Let's talk now about Cleo.
Yeah.
Cleo.
Yeah, song and a Cleo. I like it.
That's right. She wrote in and said, even though this is a request I'd like to play it in honor of my birthday on November 5th, I want to dedicate it to my girls, Sarah and Eden. When you hear this, and Sarah, you better be doing your damn algebra and not streaming this in class. Remember that right now you are exactly who you're supposed to be. No more. No less. Don't take opinions launched from a teenage perspective so seriously and stop trying so hard to be grown-ups. You'll get there soon enough. And then you'll be thoroughly prepared to take care of any, or no, I'm sorry, be prepared to take care of my prehistoric ass in the style to which I've become accustomed. Since I've blown my one birthday request on you, I expect a bitchin' cake and some IOUs for Starbucks dates and pedicures. Now, much like we do on your birthdays, let's start celebrating the day that my mother did most of the hard work. Borrow some money from your dad. I want pizza for dinner. Love, Mom, Cleo. Love it.
That's great.
Cleo requested a specific tune, and who am I to say no to Cleo? Come on, I'm not crazy, right?
Yeah, you're a man, but you're not that big of a man to say no to Cleo. Forget
That's right. Exactly.
Nobody says no to Cleo.
Nobody puts Cleo in the corner.
No.
So this is a cover by a group called Anthem Lights that actually I didn't discover before a couple months ago when Cleo asked me if I'd ever heard of them. They are a vocal group. And this comes from their 2012 album, Anthem Lights, The Acoustic Sessions. They do a lot of covers, and they're really good. This is their cover, Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are.
Oh, I love it. All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Thank you guys for being here. Justin, we're sorry your internet was poo. I don't like it when we can't say goodbye to our guests. I hate that.
I know. There's no closure.
No, there is no closure. So without closure, here it is. Just the Way You Are. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. I know when I compliment her, she won't believe me. And it's so sad to think that she don't see what I see. Every time she asks me, do I look okay? I'd say, when I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change. 'Cause you're amazing, just the way you are. And when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while. 'Cause you're amazing, just the way you are. Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. You know I'd never ask you to change. If perfect's what you're searching for, then just stay the same. Don't even bother asking if you look okay. You know I'll say, when I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change. 'Cause you're amazing, just the way you are. And when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while. 'Cause you're amazing, just the way you are. Just the way you
you are. And when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while. 'Cause you're amazing, just the way you are. Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
With a hermaphrodite, you can take your pick.